What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Herman loves Pauline, and Pauline loves Herman. They made love from giving birth to a little German. They call him MC Squared, because he laps like no other. An asthma sufferer, like Ernesto Guevara. Too much Monte Cristo number four.
It is Memorial Day weekend. Happy. I can't figure out whether I'm supposed to say happy Memorial Day. I don't want you to have a bad Memorial Day. I just don't know whether I'm supposed to say happy Memorial Day. So good Memorial weekend to you. Chris Woolsey, our streaming correspondent, is here.
And also to you, Ryan. And we were actually just having this discussion in the Crackle office this morning about how you are supposed to announce holidays that sort of have a some sort of negative aspect to them. Like, you know, Juneteenth is the freedom of slavery, but it seems a little awkward to be like, hey, happy Freedom of Slavery Day. I don't know how
you know
to do
what?
That.
Even happy Juneteenth seems better than happy Memorial Day, because it's like you're not really supposed to be, you're supposed to be almost somber if you're celebrating Memorial Day, you know?
Right. Totally. Yeah, so, it's definitely a difficult one for sure.
Yeah, I haven't figured that out, so I'm glad you haven't either. I'm glad you were having that discussion and still came to no good conclusion, because that's where I am.
I got nothing for you.
Chris, with it being Memorial Day weekend, I'm glad that you're here because you have some streaming options for us, and I've been kind of talking all weekend here about how we have tons and tons of options for you. I did another segment where I talked about some other stuff I've been watching. So, Chris, what do you have that we should be watching this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. We have got a ton of Memorial Day content on Crackle this month, but really every month. We really lean heavy on documentaries, which sometimes are kind of hard to come by. We have a lot of them on Crackle, and then we've got a lot of great military features as well. So one of the ones that I'm most excited about, and it's because I feel like in the media world, it's kind of one of the forgotten wars, and that is World War One. We've got this great movie called Flyboys, which highlights the bravery of pilots in World War One, and it's starring James Franco. Really good performances, but I just think it's interesting because Flight was really in its infancy when the war started in 1916. And, you know, a lot of these guys were literally learning how to fly just days before they were going up into battle. Like, it was a little bit crazy. And I feel like pilots in World War One are a sort of a subset of an already ignored war in terms of media and movies. So this Flyboys is really worth checking out. It's very well done. And I thought it was fascinating because it's a world I know nothing about.
Yeah, I'm glad you started with Flyboys because that is one that I do believe that I've seen. It's been a bit, but you're right about World War One. That is a war, you know, it's so far past our generation now that all of the stories are secondhand, which in our lifetime, World War II was not. You know, we knew people who fought in World War II who could tell us what it was like. We're getting pretty, you know, that's getting pretty strained at this point. But I do love looking at things that show even just the technology, like you were saying about World War One with Flyboys.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, every day we lose more and more of the firsthand knowledge of what it was like to be in those situations. I've had the incredible blessing to be able to talk firsthand with quite a few World War II veterans. I worked on a screenplay for a film about B-17 crews, and I interviewed a family friend who was a belly gunner who has since passed away, and then actually went to the Air Museum in Palm Springs and got to interview an entire crew who are docents there who flew various positions on a B-17 in battle. So it was pretty incredible and just an invaluable experience to be able to hear the words directly from the mouths of the heroes who experienced them.
Chris, I don't know if you're like this, but with war content in general, if it comes up in my feed and I say, yeah, I'll give it a shot, I never regret it, but I don't usually seek it out, which is stupid of me because every time I watch something that has to do with war, whether it's fictionalized about a real war or it's an actual documentary like you were talking about, I never am upset that I spent time watching it. I always walk away enriched.
That's funny you bring that up because it's the exact same thing with me. I'm a huge fan of war films, and the other day my son and I were trying to find something to watch, and I think I went past three or four war films. And I think part of that is just it's such a heavy subject matter.
Yeah.
That I think maybe some nights you're just like, oh gosh, that's a lot of emotion to toss on top of what may have already been an emotional day for me. I agree with you though. Every time I watch one, I just go, wow. And we, you know, I think with Dunkirk in 1917, I think we've had some phenomenal examples of the genre in the last few years, probably some of the better films that have come out of Hollywood in the last few years.
So when you said, when you were teasing Flyboys there a couple minutes ago and you said a forgotten war, I, for whatever reason, I just immediately thought you were going to talk about Vietnam. But that, you know, because that one's called sometimes
the Forgotten War.
I mean, I guess,
or Korea.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm getting them mixed up. But you have a film about Vietnam on Crackle.
Yes, and I would argue that I think even if it isn't referred to as, I think Vietnam, if you ask your rank and file 20-year-old now to give you five facts about Vietnam, I guarantee you they would probably come up with nothing.
Yeah.
So I think it has become, you know, as you rightly point out, as we move, as time moves on, I think fewer and fewer people actually have an understanding of the complexities of that war, not only from a physical standpoint, but from a social and a political standpoint as well. And that's the great thing about this documentary series. We have Battleground Vietnam, War in the Jungle. It actually goes all the way back and it talks about the basis of how we got involved in that war. I mean, it was a police action. We were there supporting allies, and then sort of in an instant, those allies pulled out and we were kind of left holding the bag. which, you know, just ended up pulling us further and further into the mire of that war, for good and for bad. But it's complex, it's fascinating, and I learned a ton about it. I thought it was really, really well done. If you would like a better understanding of multiple aspects of that war, Battleground Vietnam is a great series.
Chris Woolsey, our streaming correspondent, is here on Memorial Day weekend, suggesting Flyboys, suggesting you watch Battleground Vietnam, War in the Jungle. And I guess before we go, in between those, my assumption is that you will have some World War II material for us.
Yes, we have a ton. We've got a lot of documentaries about World War II, but we also have a lot of scripted features. One with one of my all-time favorite actors, Ozzie Davis, is called Proud. And this is the story of one of only two ships in the U.S. Navy with black crews that actually saw action in World War II. It's a phenomenal film. The performances are through the roof. And it's, again, I love films that spotlight little-known aspects of things that I think that I know quite a bit about. And I don't really know much of anything about the involvement of African Americans in terms of direct action in World War II. I know that there was, you know, a lot of social reasons as to why there wasn't a lot, but we've seen, you know, movies about Africa, the Tuskegee Airmen, which is great. And this is sort of a naval version of that story, highlighting the black heroes that fought and died in World War II.
Well, Chris, we're back to this point where I'm going to wish you a positive, good Memorial Day, but I'm not going to wish you a happy one because it just feels a little inappropriate. But always appreciate your time, especially this weekend.
Ryan, it's always a highlight of my month to swing by and nerd out about movies, and I also wish you a pleasant Memorial Day and all that that entails. So thank you so much, and thanks to all the veterans out there who sacrificed so much so that you and I can live in a free country.
Absolutely, and one of the things that I think that we can do is just educate ourselves on what these veterans, well, in Memorial Day, because Veterans Day is those who are with us, Memorial Day is those who aren't. Look at these documentaries, look at these films that we're suggesting, and get a history view of some of the things that maybe you didn't know about, especially with the Vietnam documentary series. That sounds really good, which is called Battleground Vietnam, War in the Jungle. That's on Crackle. And Chris, again, thank you for being here. We're going to take a short break. We are just beginning the second hour here of Wiggins America, so lots to come. Stick around.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free.
Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Article here called Seven Theories for Why Biden is Losing. Now, this comes via Real Clear Politics, but it's from, like, ultimately some sort of New York magazine called DNY something. And the person writing the article, you'll see where their slant is, okay? Because it starts with, it's not Joe Biden's poll numbers that worry me, exactly. So they're a Joe Biden supporter. It's the denial of what's behind them. Among likely voters, Biden is trailing Donald Trump by 1 point in Wisconsin and 3 points in Pennsylvania. He's ahead by a point in Michigan. Sweeping those three states is one route to reelection, and they're within reach. Still, Biden is losing to Trump. This is a Biden supporter saying this. His path is narrowing. In 2020, Biden didn't just win Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. He also won Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. Now he's behind in those states by 6 points, 9 points, and 13 points in the latest Time Siena poll. Have those states turned red? No. That is the same poll that finds Democrats leading in the Arizona and Nevada Senate races. Let's pause right there and acknowledge that, yes, that's true. The path to winning the Senate is a little bit harder than it should be for Republicans, according to the polls. It's a good map that's coming up for Republicans this year. But the polling is not suggesting that it's going to be a cakewalk. But with Donald Trump, the polling is way in his favor, much more than even Republicans running for Senate. So what's going on? The author continues, Biden, in other words, is continuing to run like a candidate who is winning rather than one who is losing. It's kind of a big acknowledgement. He and the Democrats need a theory of why he's trailing in the polls and what to do about it. Here are the most obvious answers. So this is what we're digging into here right at the top of the show, is acknowledging that right now Joe Biden seems to be losing this race. Are we okay with that premise?
Yeah, I think that's a solid premise right now.
Good, because I'm going to continue with that premise and read you all the reasons why this author, who is a political analyst, is saying Biden is losing and see if we agree. The first one is the polls are wrong. This appears to be, as he says here, this appears to be Biden's view that the polling data has been wrong all along. That's a quote from Biden to CNN last week. Axios reports that polling denial is pervasive in Biden's campaign. My question for you, is this true? Is the polling that off, Brad? You don't trust polling, so.
I don't. Well, I think polling is persuasive, not predictive. But I don't think that Biden can honestly say that the polls are off or wrong.
There are just too many of them, right?
There's too many of them, and even the ones that are most favorable to him are still within the margin of error.
And this has been his view. The author is right. He keeps saying, I don't believe those polls. And if you catch him off guard, you know, he's walking to the helicopter or something, he'll say it. So when he's off script, he'll say, don't listen to that. I don't believe that. The polls are always wrong. But here's the thing that even this person acknowledges. The first is that it's false. Pundits predicted a red wave in 2022. Mm-hmm. The polls showed, though, that Republicans were not going to get a red wave, and they were right. So in 2022, for all of the predictions that were going on, the polling was actually closer in 2022 than in any cycle since apparently 1998. So if you're saying, hey, that was an example of everything being right, and it's the most recent one, then you'd have to say that going into this election, the polls seem to be favoring Donald Trump. What did Joe Biden have to say about this when we asked him whether the polling data was off?
My name's Joe Biden. I work for Kamala Harris. I asked her to be my vice president because I knew I needed somebody smarter than me.
Okay. Well, it's not totally relevant, but I guess it is an answer. The second reason is that it's the media's fault. This author says that this is one of the things that the Biden camp could be saying. As a member of the media, I've been hearing this one more often. Biden made the case himself at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Biden's making the case that the media is...
The media is off. They're not framing everything right for him. I kid you not. I'll read the quote. Biden said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, "I'm sincerely not asking you to take sides." Okay, thank you.
But you kind of are.
But asking you, all friendly people basically in the room, to him, asking you to rise up to the seriousness of the moment, move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments and the distractions and the sideshows that have come to dominate and sensationalize our politics, and focus on what's actually at stake. That last phrase being key. Hey, remember whose side you're on. Focus on what's actually at stake.
Hey, you want to talk about an ungrateful guy.
No kidding.
This media is doing everything they can to prop him up.
So you would disagree that the media is the problem for him?
Yeah, 1,000%. It's reality that's the problem for him.
Here's what he had to say.
The reason to do this is simple. Electric charging stations have to be as easy to find as a gas station. And that's what this will be. You're not going to have to worry about it. You're taking off and you're not going to be able to make it all across the country in one without having to figure something else out.
I don't know. Didn't really seem relevant there, Mr. President, but I guess it is an answer once again. Number three, it is a bad time to be an incumbent. So the problem is that he's the incumbent, Brad. And this author says, as my colleague Paul Krugman notes, by the way, Paul Krugman, personally, not a huge fan.
So is this writer saying this now?
The writer saying, as my colleague notes, Biden is more popular than the leaders even of peer countries like Canada and Britain. So he's saying that it may just be a bad time to be an incumbent.
Yeah, but why? Let's get to the why. When it's a bad time to be an incumbent is whenever the incumbent is a bad leader. Whenever their performance is bad, then it's bad to be the one that's responsible for whatever is going on in the country.
Brad, you may be hitting on something. Joe Biden responds.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
By the way,
that never gets old.
All these clips that I'm playing, this isn't the greatest hits of Joe Biden.
Well, it kind of is.
This is the last 30 days. This isn't like I'm pulling stuff from when he was a senator, right, vice president, even during his whole presidency.
Not in that list is true international pressure.
There's all kinds of corn pop that we glossed over here. This is just the last 4 weeks that we're pulling. Number four, voters are angry. And just again, these are reasons why Joe Biden may be losing is what we're going through. Voters are angry about rising prices and high interest rates. In the Times Siena poll, 21% of voters say the economy will drive their vote, and a number say inflation is their top issue. Prices are the most common explanation for Biden's troubles. But, he says, Democrats performed and polled well in 2022 when the economy was in worse shape, he says, than it is now. We'll talk about the economy next with Jonathan Honig, so stick around for that. But what do you think about this, Brad, that the reason that people are turning on Biden is the perceived negative economy, even though they didn't turn on him in 2022.
No, the economy is not better. It's still bad, and it's not getting better. It's not getting better. So in 2022, 2021, people are still ready to give him the benefit of the doubt of the pandemic and whatever the excuses that he came up with. I mean, he had a plethora of excuses, I mean, from Republicans to whatever. But it hasn't gotten any better. The stuff that he was doing, the Inflation Reduction Act, didn't reduce inflation. It actually made it worse. Stuff like that has continued to put pressure on people, and now people are like, no, you ain't the guy. This ain't right. It isn't getting better. My paycheck still doesn't go far enough. I feel like I should be making more money by now, and I'm not. Everything is still bad, and the pandemic is long gone.
I would add that I believe in 2022, voters did not connect a bad economy or inflation directly to Democrats, because Joe Biden wasn't on the ticket in 22.
That's true.
I do believe that they're connecting it to him now in 2024, and they weren't in 22. Joe Biden had this to say.
She's not only the only person receiving this medal. She is, it's not the reason she's getting it, but it's because she's from Delaware, although I keep looking at it.
It's not really related to the economy there, Joe, but I guess, you know, it's a response. Number five, voters think Biden is too liberal. The Biden administration is worried about shoring up its left flank too much, particularly since the war in Gaza started. Agree?
Yeah, he is too liberal.
I agree with that one, too. Yeah, that's one that I think you could say they are definitely pandering to the far corners of the party in a moment when they should be moving to the middle.
I think strategically. Yeah, I think I mentioned this to you off air, but Joe Biden is like this weird, like traditional, I'm Scranton Joe, old man, you know, old school Democrat man. And that's the talk that he talks. And then, like he says with Israel, don't look at what I say, look at what I do. And then when you look at what he does, it's like very progressive, left-leaning stuff that people aren't ready for.
And people are seeing what he's doing more than what he's saying, because he's not really great at saying it. Here's what he had to say.
And when I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic. And what happened was Barack said to me, go to Detroit and help fix it. Well, poor mayor, he spent more time with me than he ever thought he's going to have to. God love you.
What? He was vice president during the pandemic?
That's what he said.
This one's making the rounds if you've heard it already. Sorry, we're just catching up. But this is all stuff, again, within the last 30 days that he said. Number six, we'll get through these real quick here, and we'll get to Jonathan Honig in just a minute. Democrats need to redefine Trump. Biden is not running against God, as Bernie Sanders put it. He's running against Donald Trump. So they haven't done a good enough job of defining Trump as a bad guy, Brad.
What else could they define him as? Like, what is left to say about him? I've heard him called everything. Like, the worst characters in history, he's been called.
Here's Joe Biden.
And by the way, I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not the same one. One of them has always been on your side. That's the biggest advantage of marrying into $5.
Okay.
What?
And I saved the best for last, and so did they. And you maybe see where we're going here. You know, I've been saying, oh, here they're saying this, but here's what Joe Biden has to say. There's a point to all this. Number seven is the last one on the list. Voters think Biden is too old. This is the one that worries me the most, the author says. Polls routinely find that majorities of as much as 70 to 80% think Biden is too old to be president. I think we finally got to the point. And I hate to say that that is really what may decide this election, because everything in me wants people to vote on policy. I desperately wish that this was a referendum on two presidents that we've both seen. Tulsi Gabbard said it the other day when Annie was interviewing her. And you can get that on the podcast if you missed that interview. That this is one of the only elections that we've ever seen that you actually have a record of 4 years and 4 years to compare. Yeah. And my desperate hope is that voters are going to do that. And it's not just the age thing that's going to decide this election. Because let's say it's not Joe Biden running. Let's say it's somebody else. I would hope that the policy carries the day.
Well, and the thing about it is, too, the stuff, things aren't bad in the country right now. They're not bad in the country because Joe Biden's old.
Correct.
They're bad because of the policy and the policymakers within the Biden administration. I don't know where you are at or how much policy Joe Biden's making. I'm at the spot where not a lot is my answer. So whenever you look at this, it's not you couldn't replace Joe Biden with a younger person and then say, OK, everything would be working out better. No, the same policies would be in place. The same results would still be happening. It would just have a polished politician at the helm.
That's exactly right.
You've got to look at the policies.
That's exactly right. But this is the stuff that sticks.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Again, all this stuff is the last 30 days. So this is the stuff that people remember, and it really could cost Democrats the election. I just almost mourn the fact that we've gotten to get to this point where you have to have somebody who's so incapable of going out and sharing bad messaging. Like, they really have nothing even to run on. But you have a leader who is not even able to spin that bad messaging into something like good ones can. That's where we're at in America today. It is personality. These things absolutely do matter. Roy, I'm glad you're here because I need to present a case to you.
Okay.
Now, first, it's based on this news story. I shared this a week and a half or so ago on the Annie Fry Show, but I didn't get to really dive into it as much as I'd like because it's a really interesting story. It's from New York Post, and it's based on a couple just doing a TikTok video, as most stories are now.
Right.
Hey, somebody did a TikTok video. I'm going to write about it and make it official. It starts with, well, how's this for creepy? Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Millennial couple Courtney and Matt had a letter address. Now, we don't know where this is. They didn't reveal where the house is, but it's an old Victorian home that they bought. And they said they got a letter addressed to purchaser in the mail. Courtney said the correspondence came from someone in Canada. My guess, like looking at the house, it looks like New England, but I don't really know exactly where it is. The letter says to purchaser, who is Courtney and Matt in this case, it says, let me introduce myself. I am the last surviving member of the Madison family who once owned the house that you're in, and I grew up in it. I would like to tell you about the secret rooms and a few things you may not have been told when you bought the house. Intrigued?
Okay, I'm in.
I mean, if I get this letter, I'm like,
Yep.
I want to know everything about the person, and I want to know everything they're about to say.
Yep.
It says the location of Courtney and Matt's new home is unclear, as I said. They haven't shared any definitive information about the home or this Madison family. But in the clip, which was shared more than 1.5 million times, and since then it's probably much more, the new homeowners took a tour around this big Victorian-style house, which according to a separate video, they purchased from a historical society. So that already adds a little bit of intrigue to it.
Mm-hmm.
And uncovered like all of these things in the letter. So first, the letter said, check above the fireplace in the front parlor. So they do, and they mess with it. They pull down, it's a mirror above the fireplace. Well, it's a mirror that's built into it, and if you pull it down, it's a secret liquor cabinet. And there was all this liquor still in it.
Okay.
Which was kind of cool, and it was all from the 70s and 80s and 90s. So I don't know when they built the thing, but they would still use it at least up until the 90s.
Okay.
It was all these dusty vintage bottles, and they had a French rosé wine from the 70s all the way up to about 1990, and you know, bourbon, beer, and sherry. So next, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Next, they followed the letter to a secret room in the bathroom, directly opposite the door in the wall. That's all it said. So they open, with their toddler they have in the house, they open this little door that they had to kind of hunt for, and it doesn't really go anywhere, but they said it goes enough. We couldn't get into it, but we had the toddler crawl in with a flashlight and kind of look around a little bit.
Oh, good, yeah.
I know, I was like, wait a minute. But it just turned out to be kind of a wider than average crawl space. Where like a kid would maybe hide and make a little cave or something, you know. But it wasn't like a room. But the last one, they said that they revealed a tiny locked door stationed directly atop opposite the toilet. So in the same bathroom, but in a different spot in that bathroom, there was a small entrance that opened up to a big trunk room. So there was a secret room. So they found that maybe they were looking in the wrong spot, and they found the crawl space first, and they found this big secret room. And I saw the video. Mm-hmm. It's a legit room that you're like, yeah, that's there, and you wouldn't know it.
Okay.
And you got to get to it through these weird passageways. So my question for you is, first, if you get a letter like this, is it creepy? Is it cool? How do you respond if you find secret rooms in your house?
I I think it's cool, especially for an old historic. I like old buildings. I think it's cute that they think wine from the 70s is vintage.
Yeah.
But no, I would be fascinated by it. I would think that that's pretty cool because I think there's a lot of older buildings from that era that had these secret rooms and just people don't know about them.
Yeah.
It would be better if there was like something...
Treasure in it.
Treasure.
Yeah.
A giant bag of Spanish gold would be awesome.
Right.
To find. But no, I think it's fascinating. I love old buildings. I love secret rooms. All that kind of stuff's pretty fascinating to me.
I do too. And that it to me is one of those dreams come true if you're a kid. You know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a kid, it's like this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. Now it is a little scary, like the oldness of it and the there's a room here where maybe some stuff went down because it was a secret room. I don't know. Like that's a little creepy, like in the middle of the night, but I'd still take it over not having them.
Yeah, me too. I think in a lot of cases, well, I don't know. I don't have any idea, but my guess would be...
That's why you're here.
Just architecturally, you know, there's... Because we do a lot of old buildings. We redo them and around the pub and all that. And you always end up with space that's not really functional for your layout, and you can either just box it in and forget about it, or you can make a cool little thing. Plus you have, depending on the age of the home, you know, there might have been reason, and you don't know geographically where it was. So you some of these old homes have underground railroad rooms and different things like
hideouts.
That and so that's all part of what makes it fascinating to me is, well, what is the story behind that secret room? Is it just here's some space we don't know what to do with? Or was there a cool little story behind
reason? Yeah. I remember touring like old historic homes. It was probably like Abraham Lincoln's home or something. I mean, I'm 7 years old, so I don't remember where we were. But all I remember about the tour was that they would pull out these drawers and they would have these little compartments in the dresser where people would hide their jewelry and their money. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. So I said, I have a case for you.
Okay.
That wasn't it.
Oh, all right.
That was the setup.
Okay.
I bought a house, and I need to know if this is creepy. I bought a house a couple years ago and was intending to make it a rental house, which we did. But we had to do a pretty full rehab on it, much more than I thought when we bought it. Like, we got in a little over our heads. It was a purchase that I don't regret now, but man, at the time, I'm like, this is this is taking a little longer and a lot more money than I thought. So in the house, though, when we were rehabbing it, we didn't like find any secret rooms or anything, but we did start noticing things about the house that we didn't when you're just walking through, you know, making sure it has good bones and checking the floors and stuff. And one of the things we noticed, and I'll present each one. You tell me, nah, it's okay. Or it's creepy.
Okay.
Because we were kind of going back and forth on these things. It had all these hooks. And maybe this was just a time period thing, like a 40s, 50s thing. I don't know. But they lasted a long time because this is, you know, now a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All these hooks on the doors that would hook into a little loop. So instead of having a lock, it was an old-fashioned lock. It was probably just a cheaper version.
Okay.
So it had a little loop on the door frame and then a little hook on the door itself. And you could just hook that thing into the loop and then you're locked.
On the inside or outside?
On a place like the bathroom door, it was on the inside. Mm-hmm. Now that makes sense to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to lock the inside of your door. It seemed like a weird system, but maybe they were just cheaper to do that. On a couple of the bedrooms, they were on the outside.
Hmm.
My thoughts exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you put the locks and the hooks on the outside of the bedrooms?
That is curious.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Then we discovered that there is a hook on the outside of the basement door. So we're going, okay, why would you want to lock the basement? What would be in the basement that you wouldn't want to come up from the basement?
Mm.
That's a little strange, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm trying to think of all the scenarios. Now, the bedroom thing I can't really figure out other than I'm going to lock little Johnny in there, and little Johnny's not going to come out till the morning because he was a bad boy, and that's a little like,
right,
a little much. But the basement thing starts to get weird, but I was like, well, maybe it's they had dogs or something, and they didn't want the dogs to push open the door because it didn't quite latch right, and it was easier to just put a hook up there. I'm trying to find a good explanation.
I think the most obvious one is that they had people living there who were werewolves.
Okay.
And you had to keep them locked up at night. But the bedrooms is really creepy. That I can't, I'm with you. I can't figure out a reason why. I can't really on the basement either, unless there's another exit, if it's like a walkout basement or something.
Well, there was another exit. So that's what made me wonder if they were just kind of paranoid. And like, I'm gonna put a lock here in case somebody ever breaks into the basement door. They can't get up to us.
Yeah, I thought, well, that would kind of make sense.
But there's all these other locks too.
My brother bought a house from probably the 50s, I think, and it was a similar kind of thing. There was a lock on the upstairs side of the basement door, but there were no other ways in or out of the basement.
Well, that's weird.
So, yeah, I mean, I think in general that would be a interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're following me down the path here.
Yeah.
Because I'm not done.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
In the basement, there's a little room, because it's an open basement. And, you know, there's one side has the laundry and the boiler, or we don't call it boiler here, hot water heater. Mm-hmm. And the other side is just a wide open room where there's probably like a area where they might have put coal at one time because it's pretty old. Mm-hmm. And then a makeshift bathroom that's like they added on way later. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of this room, instead of using like a corner to add, like if you wanted to add a little room down there for storage or something, you'd just usually build out.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Roy, I'm glad you're here because I need to present a case to you.
Okay.
Now, first, it's based on this news story. I shared this a week and a half or so ago on the Annie Fry Show, but I didn't get to really dive into it as much as I'd like because it's a really interesting story. It's from New York Post, and it's based on a couple just doing a TikTok video, as most stories are now.
Right.
Hey, somebody did a TikTok video. I'm going to write about it and make it official. It starts with, well, how's this for creepy? Do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Millennial couple Courtney and Matt had a letter address. Now, we don't know where this is. They didn't reveal where the house is, but it's an old Victorian home that they bought. And they said they got a letter addressed to purchaser in the mail. Courtney said the correspondence came from someone in Canada. My guess, like looking at the house, it looks like New England, but I don't really know exactly where it is. The letter says to purchaser, who is Courtney and Matt in this case, it says, let me introduce myself. I am the last surviving member of the Madison family who once owned the house that you're in, and I grew up in it. I would like to tell you about the secret rooms and a few things you may not have been told when you bought the house. Intrigued?
Okay, I'm in.
I mean, if I get this letter, I'm like,
Yep.
I want to know everything about the person, and I want to know everything they're about to say.
Yep.
It says the location of Courtney and Matt's new home is unclear, as I said. They haven't shared any definitive information about the home or this Madison family. But in the clip, which was shared more than 1.5 million times, and since then's probably much more, the new homeowners took a tour around this big Victorian-style house, which, according to a separate video, they purchased from a historical society, so that already adds a little bit of intrigue to it, and uncovered like all of these things in the letter. So first, the letter said, check above the fireplace in the front parlor. So they do, and they mess with it. They pull down, it's a mirror above the fireplace. Well, it's a mirror that's built into it, and if you pull it down, it's a secret liquor cabinet. And there was all this liquor still in it.
Okay.
Which was kind of cool, and it was all from the 70s and 80s and 90s. So I don't know when they built the thing, but they would still use it at least up until the 90s.
Okay.
It was all these dusty vintage bottles, and they had a French rosé wine from the 70s all the way up to about 1990. And, you know, bourbon, beer, and sherry. So next, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Next, they followed the letter to a secret room in the bathroom, directly opposite the door in the wall. That's all it said. So they open, with their toddler they have in the house, they open this little door that they had to kind of hunt for, and it doesn't really go anywhere, but they said it goes enough. We couldn't get into it, but we had the toddler crawl in with a flashlight and kind of look around a little bit.
Oh, good, yeah.
I know, I was like, wait a minute. But it just turned out to be kind of a wider than average crawl space, where like a kid would maybe hide and make a little cave or something, you know? But it wasn't like a room. But the last one, they said that they revealed a tiny locked door stationed directly atop opposite the toilet. So in the same bathroom, but in a different spot in that bathroom, there was a small entrance that opened up to a big trunk room. So there was a secret room. So they found that maybe they were looking in the wrong spot, and they found the crawl space first, and they found this big secret room. And I saw the video. Mm-hmm. It's a legit room that you're like, yeah, that's there, and you wouldn't know it.
Okay.
And you got to get to it through these weird passageways. So my question for you is, first, if you get a letter like this, is it creepy? Is it cool? How do you respond if you find secret rooms in your house?
I think it's cool, especially for an old historic. I like old buildings. I think it's cute that they think wine from the 70s is vintage.
Yeah.
But no, I would be fascinated by it. I would think that's pretty cool. because I think there's a lot of older buildings from that era that had these secret rooms and just people don't know about them.
Yeah.
It would be better if there was like something.
Treasure in it.
Treasure.
Yeah.
A giant bag of Spanish gold would be awesome.
Right.
To find. But no, I think it's fascinating. I love old buildings. I love secret rooms. All that kind of stuff's pretty fascinating to me.
I do too. And that it to me is one of those dreams come true if you're a kid. You know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a kid, it's like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. Now, it is a little scary, like the oldness of it and the, oh, there's a room here where maybe some stuff went down because it was a secret room. I don't know. Like that's a little creepy, like in the middle of the night, but I'd still take it over not having them.
Yeah, me too. I think in a lot of cases, well, I don't know. I don't have any idea, but my guess would be.
That's why you're here.
Just architecturally, you know, because we do a lot of old buildings. We redo them and around the pub and all that. And you always end up with space that's not really functional
mm-hmm.
for your layout. And you can either just box it in and forget about it, or you can make a cool little thing. Plus you have, depending on the age of the home, you know, there might have been reason. And you don't know geographically where it was. So mm-hmm. you some of these old homes have underground railroad mm-hmm. rooms and different things like
hideouts.
That. And so that's all part of what makes it fascinating to me is, well, what is the story behind that secret
yeah.
room? Is it just here's some space we don't know what to do with? Or was there a cool little story behind
reason?
It?
Yeah, yeah, I remember touring like old historic homes. It was probably like Abraham Lincoln's home or something. I'm 7 years old, so I don't remember where we were. But all I remember about the tour was that they would pull out these drawers
mm-hmm.
and they would have these little compartments in the dresser where people would hide their jewelry and their money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. So I said, I have a case for you.
Okay.
That wasn't it.
Oh, all right.
That was the setup.
Okay.
I bought a house, and I need to know if this is creepy. I bought a house a couple years ago and was intending to make it a rental house, which we did. But we had to do a pretty full rehab on it, much more than I thought when we bought it. Like, mm-hmm. we got in a little over our heads. It was a purchase that I don't regret now, but man, at the time, I'm like, this is this is taking a little longer and a lot more money than I thought. So in the house, though, when we were rehabbing it, we didn't like find any secret rooms or anything. But we did start noticing things about the house that we didn't when you're just walking through, you know, making sure it has good bones and checking mm-hmm. the floors and stuff. And one of the things we noticed, and I'll present each one. You tell me, no, it's okay. Or it's creepy.
Okay.
Because we were kind of going back and forth on these things. It had all these hooks. And maybe this was just a time period thing, like a 40s, 50s thing. I don't know. But they lasted a long time because this is, you know, now a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All these hooks on the doors that would hook into a little loop. So instead of having a lock, it was an old-fashioned lock. It was probably just a cheaper version.
Okay.
So it had a little loop on the door frame and then a little hook on the door itself. And you could just hook that thing into the loop and then you're locked.
On the inside or outside?
On a place like the bathroom door, it was on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now that makes sense to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to lock the inside of your door. It seemed like a weird system, but maybe they were just cheaper to do that. On a couple of the bedrooms, they were on the outside.
Hmm.
My thoughts exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you put the locks and the hooks on the outside of the bedrooms?
That is curious.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Then we discovered that there is a hook on the outside of the basement door. So we're going, okay, why would you want to lock the basement? What would be in the basement that you wouldn't want to come up from the basement?
Mm.
That's a little strange, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm trying to think of all the scenarios. Now, the bedroom thing I can't really figure out other than I'm going to lock little Johnny in there, and little Johnny's not going to come out till the morning because he was a bad boy, mm-hmm. and that's a little like, eh,
right.
A little much. But the basement thing starts to get weird, but I was like, well, maybe it's they had dogs or something, and they didn't want the dogs to push open the door because it didn't quite latch right, and it was easier to just put a hook up there. I'm trying to find a good explanation.
I think the most obvious one is that they had people living there who were werewolves.
Okay.
And you had to keep them locked up at night. But the bedrooms is really creepy. That I can't, I'm with you. I can't figure out a reason why. I can't really on the basement either, unless there's another exit, if it's like a walkout basement or something.
Well, there was another exit. So that's what made me wonder if they were just kind of paranoid and like, I'm gonna put a lock here in case somebody ever breaks into the basement door. They can't get up to us.
Yeah, I thought, well, that would kind of make sense.
But there's all these other locks too.
My brother bought a house from probably the 50s, I think, and it was a similar kind of thing. There was a lock on the upstairs side of the basement door, but there were no other ways in or out of the basement.
Well, that's weird.
So, yeah, I mean, I think in general that would be a interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're following me down the path here.
Yeah.
Because I'm not done.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
In the basement, there's a little room, because it's an open basement. And, you know, there's one side has the laundry and the boiler, or we don't call it boiler here, hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side is just a wide open room where there's probably like a area where they might have put coal at one time, because it's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
And then a makeshift bathroom that's like, they added on way later. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of this room, instead of using like a corner to add, like if they wanted to add a little room down there for storage or something, you'd just usually build out the corner,
because
right. You'd only have to add two walls.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they added three walls to a wall, like in the middle of the room.
Interesting.
And it's a little wooden room that's, I don't know, about the size of, if you were to lay down, I'd say maybe 12 feet across, 6 feet deep. So not huge. There's a hook on the outside of that door.
Okay.
And there are two holes cut in one of the walls about where you'd stick hands through.
Werewolf is sounding more and more reasonable now.
I agree. Real quick before we end the show here, last week at this time, Trisha and I were talking about tipping, and it's a subject we've talked about quite a bit, how much people push tipping now with all of the screens, those flip-around screens pretty much everywhere. We're talking about that stuff. And I wanted to give a shout-out to Shelley. She contacted me and the show and said, hey, just a tidbit, the tipping thing has been put into the credit debit card system so that you see it everywhere. We have a flowers and formalware business. We run the card for people and ask if we want to tip, basically tip ourselves every transaction. So she said, it's not always that people are trying to do it. It's built in. So shout out to Tuxedo To Go, the flower factory in Freeburg. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.